Hey everyone, it's time again to crack open a cold one and talk real estate with Mike Ferrante from Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team, based in Cleveland, Ohio. We are chatting about all things real estate, from agent training, real estate investing, buyer and seller tips, and more. It's free beer and real estate.
What is up, everybody? Last week we talked about seven positives that we feel came from the NAR settlement, which is yet to be approved. This week, hey, we don't have our heads in the sand. We're going to talk about five negatives, or we'll call them challenges, that are going to come from it. So hey, everybody, Mike Ferrante here with Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team. We are a team of real estate agents serving Ohio, specifically from Columbus all the way up to Cleveland. So if you have any real estate needs, please hit me up, 21mike.com, and I'd love to talk to you. Joined today by Tony Geraci, and the crowd goes wild. Broker owner, Homestar. Tony, what up?
Thank you. Just another busy day. I'm on the phone all day. That's it, every day. I'm surprised.
Speaking of phone, Tony, you love to talk to agents. Tell us how we reach you.
At 216-374-1269. And I actually have more and more agents reaching out to me from other states and things. So it's just not just Century 21 Homestar agents. Of course, you are my priority first. But I'm seeing a lot of agents that don't have guidance wherever they're at, and they don't have someone with experience to go over this and make them feel better.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just stroking either. I mean, I think there's a plan. There's a definite plan that we can implement that will make this all okay. So for those of you panicking and you saw the challenges of the NAR settlement and you thought, oh no, what's next? Look, there's nothing new here today. We're just going to put them in perspective and talk about five things that we think are challenges that we're going to have to overcome, just like all the other challenges. Tony, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth and real estate was done in person and on paper and the internet came out and Zillow came, oh my God, they're not going to need us anymore. Real estate agents will be extinct. Guys, not happening, right, Tony? How many of these have we seen?
Oh, seen so many things. It's not going to happen.
That's real estate apocalypse.
It said forever, 95% of people have been using realtors even to this day. And they don't need us. They could sell by themselves and they could buy by themselves. They use us because they want us and they need us. There's nothing else that 95% of our country agrees on other than this.
Right. And those are real numbers. Those are real numbers.
There's not even 95% of the people believe in going to a doctor when you're sick. That's how needed we are. People don't know this. I've never seen one article go, do you know 95% of people use a realtor? And I've never seen an article that shows the public this. They don't know.
Right. So let's get into the subject matter here. I've got my list, Tony. Of course, we'll ask you to chime in. The first thing that I wanted to talk about here, number one, is that they're giving us some extra hoops to jump through, right? So the ruling isn't you can no longer pay buyer's agents. That's what everyone, oh, buyer's agency is going away. That's not what it says. And again, this ruling, it's subject to court approval. But as Tony said before we got on the air here, 99.9% of the time when the two parties in a court case agree to something, the court blesses it. Sure, they'll look for things to talk about, but this is probably going to get blessed by the court and it's going to happen. But the ruling does not say buyer's agency goes away and that you can't pay buyer's agency. What it says is that it can no longer be advertised in the multiple listing service, the MLS. So all that's going to do really is just give us extra hoops to jump through. In fact, Tony, I was reading that one way that buyer's agency compensation may be advertised is on the company website. So it just says it can't be in the MLS.
Yeah, it definitely can be. Yep.
I mean, there's all kinds of ways. I mean, I could pick up the phone and call the listing agent and say, hey, what if anything is being offered on that listing? And it's a question. Now, it's double work. You know, now we have to do this extra work, but it doesn't say that buyer's agency compensation is going away. Okay, so the first negative for me is that double work. You know, these listing agents are going to have to figure out how to have all these conversations. And guys, you know what the market is like right now. A new listing hits the market, you might have 10, 20, 50 showings and who knows how many offers. you have to field all that. So I think that broker owners, managers need to get in front of this and say, hey, how are we going to do this? How are we going to handle getting that information into the hands of agents and buyers, frankly, who want to know? Because sometimes I think what we're missing here is that buyers are going to want to know too, because we know buyer's agency agreements are going to be required. So there may be those buyers who've signed with an agent, a buyer's agency agreement, who might say, and we talked about this last week, Tony, hey, I don't really want to pay for my buyer's agent if I don't have to. I would prefer to see properties that are listed with some kind of compensation to buyer's agents. Okay, so there's these extra hoops.
I agree. Well, I'm going to let you go through your five and I'll chime in. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Okay.
I always do that. I always start talking and go, that's the next one. So,
yeah. So listing agents are going to have to do double the work. Part two of that, there's that extra step we're going to have to take as buyer's agents to find out what's going on. We can't have the convenience of having it in the multiple listing service. So there's this extra work both for listing agents, number one, buyer's agents, number two. I think that if the goal of the settlement was to stop steering, I don't understand how that's going to work, because we're still going to be able to find out if there's compensation offered, and we may have buyers steering away from those listings. Okay, but those are the first two. Number three, okay, and this is where I think this is just my opinion, and I'm not basing this on fact. It'll be interesting to see the actual numbers. One thing that I think might happen, Tony, just like for sale by owners, I think that you might start to have a few more buyers say, you know what, I don't want to pay for representation. I would like to have representation, but I don't want to pay. And just like you have FSBOs, I think you might have a few more buyers saying, you know what, I'll figure it out on my own. Like I did back in 1994 when I bought one of my first houses. I said, oh, I don't need an agent. And boy, did I get screwed on that transaction. So I think you might see fewer buyer sides, but my prediction is maybe 5% fewer, 3% fewer. So that's number three, potentially fewer buyer sides. Do you have thoughts on that, Tony? Because that's just my theory. I haven't heard that from anyone else.
Oh, definitely. But we as a community of realtors, we got to not come together, but we have to be on the same, like, example. What's do-it-yourself buyer? You know, to most listing agents, a do-it-yourself buyer is someone that comes in without an agent, but then the listing agent does the work. No, you can't give them the materials for free. So, and that's what we're going to be doing in our office, just a little snippet, is that we're going to be training agents. So if you're a listing agent, a buyer comes unrepresented, whatever you charge the seller is for your side of the transaction, not to give the buyer the contracts and do that. There should be, and I'm working on this, don't quote me on this yet, what the charge will be. Buyers, if in my opinion, my thought is when someone comes to our listings without an agent, we're going to charge them. We're allowed to for our documents, our service, our talking, our showing up to the property, because we just do it for free. You shouldn't do it for free. Now, we were doing it for free because we used to keep the whole commission. There would be a buyer side, seller side. And if there is no buyer's agent, the agents would keep the total commission and you used to get paid for it. But now you're not. So what is the buyer going to pay? So buyers got to say, what am I going to charge? Because if you do it yourself, like my example, when I'm going to train agents, like my buyer says, well, I want to present an offer. I don't want to pay anything. Well, great. Well, let us know when you bring us an offer. Well, where's the paperwork? I don't know. Go call an attorney. Go on rocketlawyer.com. Do it yourself. Get the disclosures. I can't do that for you. I'm charging you for that. And when that gets out to the community, I think more buyers go, okay, I need an agent. I'm not going to get the listing agent to do this for free.
Yeah. And it's a heck of a lot more than just paperwork. You and I both know, like, there's that list that's going around social media, the 99 things that buyer's agents do, you know, and yes, there's a little bit of fluff in there, little tidbits, but a lot of that is legit. And I think when you start presenting to your buyers, look, here's everything I need to do for you when I represent you, it can be a little daunting. And I think I don't think there's going to be this mass amount of buyers who say, I'm doing it myself. And guys, what Tony just said is so valid, because you're going to be working for free, essentially, if we don't figure out how buyers will pay for our services. if they're writing on our listings.
And sorry to get still the same tangent. I want your opinion because I did this in the video yesterday. In our listing agreement, I read it again. I read it many times. It doesn't say us as listing agents have to show your property. For some reason, people are thinking that when buyers call, listing agents have to show. There's no agreement with our sellers that we have to show up. Imagine 50 buyers call you the first day. Are you going to just sit there all day long, every day? That you're not under a contractual agreement to sign, to show buyers. I feel, as this pans out, is that we can charge for that. So if a buyer wants to call the listing agent, hey, I'm going to show the house. Great. That'll be, I charge $100 to show the property. You know, here's my agreement to show you the property. You don't have to do it for free. So I think this is all, I know these are negatives. The negative part of this is trying to explain to agents because we've been used to just doing things for free. And the public didn't realize that, like, wow, there's a lot of things. Now we're going to start charging. And there's ways that agents are going to be making more money.
Yeah. And Tony, to your point, part of the ruling, the proposed ruling, is that before you can show a buyer a property, you have to have a signed agreement. I mean, that's part of it. So, you know, we're all going to be talking the same language now, which I think is really cool, because one of the frustrating things in the past was here in Ohio, buyer's agency agreements were not required. There are other states where they're required. I see one of my friends from the East Coast on here today. Hi, Rhonda. I know that in like Connecticut and I think New Hampshire, buyer's agency agreements were required. I think Washington State is another one, you know, but here in Ohio, if I'm presenting a buyer's agreement, a lot of buyers are saying, well, what's this? I've never seen one before. Now we all have to use them. And that's from last week's video, the positives. But again, what Tony's saying, guys, is not far-fetched. You know, this is going to be a thing where we're going to be able to have paperwork in place to protect us and not do double work for nothing, for free.
Exactly.
This podcast is brought to you by Mike Ferrante from Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team, real estate agents serving all of Ohio. The 21 Mike team is the number one team globally for Century 21. Ohio realtors, we are looking for more great agents. Set up a confidential appointment with Mike. Just email mike@21mike.com.
Okay, so let me recap. I think number one negative challenge, there might be fewer buyer sides, but not by much. I think that we're going to be having to do double work if we're not planning ahead here, like Tony talked about. Number three, there's going to be an extra step to find out what the commission is. And number four, more lawsuits. I think that when we go down this path, just like Tony alluded to with the paperwork, we'll go hire an attorney to do it. I think there's potentially more lawsuits between buyers and sellers, more lawsuits between agents and buyers. Imagine this just for a second. Now, I'm not saying promoting, hey, sue your buyers, but I could foresee this potentially happening. You work with a buyer for 6 months. They're looking to buy an $800,000 home. You have a buyer's agreement with them. At the 11th hour, they say, you know what? I don't feel like paying that. You're fired. I'm going directly to the seller. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, I'm not saying you sue them, but can you guys foresee that potentially happening?
Oh, definitely there. The other one I bring up to agents is, again, my opinion, I'm not an attorney. If I'm a seller and I'm not an agent, and I know all of this knowledge of being in the business for 30 years, I would never allow my listing agent to be a dual agent. I would never allow a buyer to come into my property without an agent representing them. The agents, sorry if I ruffle a few feathers, and I'm a broker for 25 years and hundreds of agents, many agents don't really understand agency. They don't. The funny thing is sometimes we get buyers offers in and it's our agent's own house. They're like, look at, I'm a dual agent. You own the house. You can't be a dual agent. I got to explain how that works. But imagine this. This is what will happen. Buyer doesn't want to use the agent, calls the listing agent. Listing agent shows it. Listing agent decides to become a dual agent. Buyer buys the house. The dual agent can't say anything to both sides. Imagine all of a sudden the buyer finds out that the agent told the seller, hey, they could be approved for $50,000 more than their offer because they told me, broke dual agency there. division, complaint, or lawsuit. Or the other way around, the buyer told the agent, "Oh my God, this house is awesome. I would pay $50,000 more." Well, you can't say that to the listing or the seller now. Now the seller, I'm sorry, long story, Mike. Now the buyer is best friends with the next door neighbor, who's still best friends with the seller. Go, "Hey, we had dinner with them last night. It's great. They would have paid $50,000 more for your house, but your agent didn't tell you." Oh, because they're a dual agent. They have to keep everything confidential on both sides. And the listing, the seller didn't know this. Complaint, division of to the division of real estate, lawsuit. These are scenarios that happen, and there'll be more of them if we don't have more, keep the buyer's agent, seller's agent, and representations on both sides. So I'm a big proponent of keeping two agents involved in conflict. As a company, our liability percentage goes up way up when we have both sides. I, as a company, hate that. And even worse, when I see it and then we're only making one side of the commission and we've doubled the liability, I hate that even more. So to all the brokers and owners out there, I'll probably go, "Yes, you're 100% on spot there."
Yeah. Tony, great info. And I'm going to elaborate a little bit because I know a lot of people are saying, well, NAR did this to us. And, what good is NAR? What good is the state board? What good is the local board? And my friend Drew is on today, so I know he'll like this statement I'm about to make. So negative or challenge number four is more lawsuits. Guys, even agent to agent, when there's a problem, like what are you going to do when a buyer drops you like a hot potato at the 11th hour and says, "Well, I'm not paying that. I'm going to go directly to the listing agent." And now what? Now what do you do? Right now, one of the big benefits that I think most people don't realize comes from our associations is that we're pushing, we don't need attorneys as much. Okay. Obviously we never don't need them because there's going to be those instances. But guys, if you've ever been involved in a dispute over commission, or if there's ever been a complaint or a problem, your associations handle those. Okay. They're either handling them by doling out punishments or by investigating and finding out there was no wrongdoing, or they handle commission disputes. Absent that, and absent two agents on a transaction, who steps in to resolve conflicts? Attorneys, ding, ding, ding. And that's, guys, I mean, if anyone thinks that's great for our business, great for our buyers, great for our sellers, you're nuts. Right,
And
Tony?
exactly in this, and I'm hopefully I'm right on this, is that somebody's like, "Well, they're paying, they were s the lawsuits were for all of us. It just didn't filter down with us." There's lots of companies that started to get sued, individual companies. And I saw some individual agents, unless you read all the articles or get out, there's actual agents and agent teams that are getting sued for the exact same thing. And this basically would be a business killer if it went all the way to a lawsuit to that. So what it is that they're clearing the slate, so we don't have to worry about this anymore. There's companies right now, to search the articles, there's like 28, 29 big companies and franchises that are not part of the National Association of Realtors. They're still in this. They got to figure this out. The National Association of Realtors are not covering them. So they just clean the slate to say, "We don't have to worry about this as agents," because if they, in my opinion, if with my crystal ball and my legal experience of things, is that if they we actually went to trial and they won, they won one, but these are the big ones. If they kept on winning these, people would just, all of your sellers, some goofy attorney in Ohio would say, "Let's just start going after agents directly and companies directly," and this would have never ended. So it's just like, stop. They're using all of our dues that we've been giving them for years, and they're paying everybody off to say, "We're done with this." And I think it, being in the legal side of things so many times, I think that's a good part of things. And hopefully they keep our dues the same.
That'll be interesting to see. But guys, for those of you who are saying, "Oh, NAR didn't help us," they really did. And if you are a realtor, like Tony said, you're going to start with a clean slate here because of this settlement. So that was number four, attorneys in our world. And number five, the big loser in this, I think, is the buyer. Everything we talked about is going to affect buyers negatively. We use the example, Tony, of the VA buyer. who's going to represent a VA buyer if they can't get paid? Guys, you all work hard. You know, anyone who ever works with a buyer or has worked with a buyer or will work with a buyer, are you going to go to work knowing that there's a chance and a good chance that you won't get paid? Of course not. You're going to sign a buyer's agreement. And if a VA buyer can't pay you, what are they going to do? Buyers are the ones who are really getting the shaft here, Tony.
Right. Definitely. That's why the buyer agreement was needed, which is good because that was such a big move that has to be included because you have to have that conversation before you show a house. How am I going to get paid? And if you can't come to an agreement with that buyer, then you could say no to the service. You don't have to do that. But my opinion, and if you don't mind if I jump back a little bit of sellers, again, my feeling to our agents, again, this is a work in progress, but I would want to push or suggest our sellers come up with a number that you want to give to buyers agents, because if you don't come up with a number, it's open to anything. And some sellers are going to say, listen, I don't want to pay any buyer's agent. Well, I don't know if that's your right best interest to do that. Let's look at all offers. And all of a sudden, if you don't have any number, you're leaving it open. Now, any buyer's agent is going to come in and go, pay me 2%, 3%, 4%,
100%.
Pay me 5%. Well, why would they charge more? Again, they're charging for their service. Well, to sell my house? No. The agent coming in, maybe just throwing out a number, 5%. Well, I would never pay that. How? You didn't see the offer, but why would they be charging so much? This, they might be working with this buyer for 2 years. They're on the 50th offer and 150 houses. They could charge more. So I tell buyer's agents, you could work tier. So the one major problem for all of this that I'm coming across, Mike, all the time, agents are just nervous about selling their service because it was so easy, Sellers are paying. They don't have to explain buyer's agency. They don't have to worry about explaining to a buyer, if the seller doesn't pay me, you got to pay me. So it was easy for them. So they're nervous. So that's my number one thing, is trying to get the agents that one-on-one, all my agents, I'll work with you one-on-one. That's what I've been doing, and you have to sell your service. And agents never had to do that because the buyers would just use them because they're showing them around. They lacked that. So a lot of buyers didn't have the experience of like listings. Like Mike, you know how a listing presentation works. You're excellent at it. You know how to explain your value and have someone sign on the dotted line of what they're going to pay you. A lot of agents don't have that confidence. And that's that's the number one negativity I have, but it's not a monetary thing. It's just their confidence level and how to explain it to them and understanding it.
Yep. That's a great cherry on top, Tony. The bottom line, guys, if you're listening to this today, is keep aware of what's going on. Listen to what your brokers and managers are saying about how you're going to handle this. Work on your value proposition, work on your presentations, really understand what you deliver as an agent, especially to buyers now, because like Tony said, you're going to have to explain that value and explain how this whole system works. You know, whereas in the past, I think one of the reasons we're in this mess is because we didn't do a great job explaining it, Tony. You know, that was the big problem.
Yeah, and explaining it to listing agents, because I played the other side. When I explained to agents, I played the buyer's agents when we're doing role playing and say, okay, you're the listing agent. I call you. Hey, listen, Mike, I got an offer coming in. The buyer's going to be asking you to pay me 4%. And the first thing you're going to say, 4%? Why? I just want to tell you the story why. We're not trying to gouge the seller, but I have this agreement with them. They have to. It's just the way it is. And so please tell the seller why. I'm not trying to make more money. I'm just trying to pay for my services that I've been working for 2 years. Yep. And then some listing agent might understand, some not, but you have to educate them too of why. It's not just because they met the buyer 2 minutes ago and they're showing your house once and want 4% for doing very little.
Yep. Guys, it's just like closing costs. How many of you guys raise your hands if you ever had a seller say, well, I'm not paying the buyer's closing costs? I get it. That seems counterintuitive, but if the offer makes sense and if the dollars make sense, a seller should and possibly would be open to paying closing costs, right? It's the same conversation with buyer's agent commission. So we ran a little over time here, guys. I know today was negatives and challenges, but please go back last week, listen to our session about the good things that are hopefully coming out of this settlement. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. So if you're watching it there, hit subscribe so you can go back and watch some of these videos. Facebook, 21mike.com, and of course the podcast, Free Beer and Real Estate. Tony, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, really. Please reach out to me. I'll explain to you. I feel comfortable saying if I was a buyer's agent, there's putting things in place where I'm actually going to be making a higher percentage on my buyer's sales now and can increase my income for the future because we just used to just accept whatever the seller said. Now you don't have to. There is that positive side. I'm happy to explain that.
Yep, guys, don't panic. So come on back here next week. We'll have more material for you and we'll keep watching this and give you our thoughts on how to handle the changes as they come in. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed Free Beer and Real Estate from Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team. Please subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube by searching for Mike Ferrante, Cleveland Realtor. You will find videos, training, and even recipes from 21 Mike's Vegan Kitchen.